All right, so starting the bottom of the Chedem and Bet, yesterday we began the Mishnah that dealt with the Mida Keneged Mida. The Mida Shadam Modid Ba, Modidin Lo. The person, the way they acted, that's how they get treated, or that's how they get punished. So the Gemara concluded, three lines in the bottom of Chet Amud Bet, we read this line, but then we're now going to read this line and continue in the Gemara. It says, Chen Metzina Besota Shib Mida Shemadada Ba, Madadugla. That the way that she acted, that's the way she is punished. He amdal petach beta'a lira'otlo. She stood on the doorway of her house in order to attract him, or to be seen by him. She stood up, or she's placed in the doorway of Shar Niknor for everyone to watch and to see, and to see her embarrassment, or to see her degradation. He parsalo sudrin na'ina rusha. And she placed nice handkerchiefs or scarves on her head. He takes, rips off her head covering or the kerchief on her head and throws it below her feet. He kashdalo paneha. And she put on makeup and looked nice for him. Lefikach paneha morikot. Her face turns white or... that the Gemara says later on, that's what we have in the Mishnah later on, that as she drinks, her face turns white, or her face loses color, and her eyes pop out. So that's the next one. Is he kachlalo eina? She put, makeup on her eyes for him. He got eineha boltot, her eyes, pop out. He kalalo et zara. She braided her hair for him. The pika kohen soter et zara. And therefore the kohen undoes her braids. She, motioned to him with her fingers, meaning to call him over or to suggest to him some illicit act. Hikach tiporneha noshrot, her nails fall off. Hikagralo bitziltzul, she, got dressed up with a belt of some sort. Hikach koin mevi chelul mitzri v'koshelo namal midadah. Therefore, the coin brings, which is what we saw in the Mishnah, and it brings the rope to hold up her clothing when her clothing is ripped. He pashtad lo et yirecha. She put out her thigh for him. Lefikach yirecha nofelet. Therefore, her, her thigh falls, is affected by the mesuda. He kibalto al kresa. She allowed him to lie on her. Lefikach bidnat zavat. Therefore, her belly, her innards are explode. She fed him the wonders or the wonderful foods or tasty foods of the world. Therefore, her korban comes from the food of an animal, meaning that her korban mincha comes from si'orim and not from chita. I mean, her mincha is different than most minachot. She fed him wine, excellent wine in beautiful cups. She, therefore, the kohen feeds her or has her drink the waters, the me'amarim, with a vessel or a earthenware vessel. She acted it in a concealed or an other way. But then the one who sits in the seter, meaning referring to Hashem, where above, Samba Panim looks towards her, takes, takes notice of her to punish her. Shne'emar, because it says, Ve'ein no'if shamra neshef lemor, lo tishureni ayin. Tishureni ayin. Tishureni ayin. So the ein no'if, the eye of the adulterer, shamra neshef, waits for the darkness. Lemor saying, Lotish Reni Ayin. No eye will see me. Meaning that they go to be hidden from the, they go to be hidden from the all others. I mean, they do it at dark or at night to be concealed from others. And, therefore, we see that the Yosheva Sejayon Samba Panim takes a look and takes a look to see or to make sure that she is seen, or meaning that she is punished for it. So that's what Rashi says over here. It says, Panai di fara mimena, right? Because it says, V'samti et panai v'natati panai, v'am lo shon ponia ni v'kol esakai va'osakani bahen, right, that I take away or look away from, I take time to put effort into those that are, you know, I'm angry at. That's what the Torah says when Hashem wants to punish those that worship Avodah Zarah, those do other things, to Samtipanai. So it's over here. Rosh Hashanah will say Sambapanim, means that he's going to pay attention to that which he did. Right. Davar Acher, he has to have said there, she acted in a concealed manner. Amakom Pirsim Abigabui. Hashem made it public, or revealed her actions. Shenemar, Tikashesin Ab Bemashaon. Right? That the one who covers up sinat, anger, or the hatred, Bemashaon, in darkness. Tigale Ra'ato Bekal. His evilness will be revealed in public. Again, so this one who acted in a acted in a manner that is unbecoming, sinah, right, something that's hated by Hashem, but my own in darkness, I mean, they did it in a concealed manner, tigale rato bakal, that will be exposed publicly. The actions of the adulterer will be exposed. Now Gemara says, mi'achar dinafkale, so if you remember yesterday in the Gemara, Gemara asked, how do we know that, we know this principle that midah keneged midah works? So Gemara says, well, because we have bishase abishalacha terivena. So Gemara says, well, that teaches us what, that you have midah keneged midah, but that's only bishaha, meaning in a big aveirah. So now we know there's midah keneged midah. They ask, how do you know even in small aveirah there's midah keneged midah? That Gemara brought the pasuk of ki kol se'on so'ein rash, the rash. And then the Gemara said, well, how do I know that even if they don't get punished right away, that Hashem adds up the aveirot to be a bigger aveirah? We say, well, that's until cheshbon. So now the Gemara is going to go back. Once we know the later psukim that teaches even in small items there's a midah keneged midah, what do you need the big ones for? And exactly. So that's what Gemara is going to ask right now. After we already know that even for small aveirot Hashem waits to add them up and then does midah keneged midah, then kikosa on so ain barash lamali. What do I need that middle pasuk that taught us about even smaller veirot that Hashem punishes midah keneged midah? So Gemara says, well, that teaches me what? Lechemidah. The only thing that achat leachat nimtzo cheshbon tells me is that Hashem doesn't leave any aveira unpunished. He adds them up. It still doesn't tell you how you're punished. So that's what the kikosa on so ain barash teaches you, that what? It's a midah, keneged midah. The chemidah teaches you that when you get punished, that punishment will be, right, specific for the aveirot, midah, keneged midah. Now Gemara says, after we already know midah, keneged midah from that pasuk, why do I need the pasuk that teaches me about tisah, which is a big aveira? Obviously, if it's a small aveira against midah, keneged midah, certainly a big aveira. Gemara says, Rav Chinen Bar Papa. You need that for Rav Chinen Bar Papa. The Amar Rav Chinen Bar Papa. That Hashem only takes retribution from a nation once it's filled in, meaning that it's reached its point where it needs to be eliminated. Very good. And that's what the Gemara, exactly what the Gemara Darshan's in other places, what, that shinit males, I thought that it's, right, its barrel is full, or its time has come to be wiped out. Gemara says, ini, is that really true? Hashem only punishes nations when they are totally done. Gamarova, shlusha kosota murak in Mitzrayim. The dream of the butler in Mitzrayim had three kosot over there, and the kosot mentioned. And what are they? Lama. Why the three kosot mentioned the dream? Achash shat to be made Moshe. That's the three times that Mitzrayim is punished by Hashem. One in the time of Moshe. Achash shat to be made Paro Necha. Right? The other time when they are attacked in the time of what? In the time of Paro Necha, when the Nebuchadnezzar comes and destroys, or comes to destroy Mitzrayim. Achat she atida lishtot im chabrota. And one in the future when, right, that she will be destroyed with the rest of the nations or the others that are need to have retribution taken them. So now that's the case. You see that Mitzrayim, first of all, is punished three times, and second of all, is going to be punished in the future again. So how can it be that Hashem only punishes them when he's ready to destroy them entirely? Here we see that Mitzrayim exists over a long period of time and is going to be punished numerous times. So where it says, well, No, that Hashem destroyed Mitzrayim, and that whoever's there now is not the descendants of the original Mitzrayim. These are new people that are there.
What's Azdu?
Left. How do Azdu? They left. They're gone. Right? Vahani Akrinin, you know, and these are new people that are here. Vatanya, then we have a Brace, Amr Yehuda, Min Yamin, Ger HaMitzri, Hayali, Chaver, Bim Tamidei, Rabbi Akiva. He's a friend of mine, or a Talmud Chaver of mine, that, a Chavus of mine from the students of Rabbi Akiva. Amar Min Yamin Ger HaMitzri, he was a smart guy, he says, Ani Mitzri Rishon, I converted, so I am a Mitzri Rishon. And what do you know about a Mitzri that converts? A Mitzri that converts is Lo Yavo B'Kol Hashem Ad Dor Shlishi, right? Or the first three Dorot, they're not Ad Dor Revi'i Yavo B'Kol Hashem. So for the first three Dorot, they're precluded from coming in. So he says, I'm a Mitzri Dor Rishon. V'Nasati Mitzrit Rishonah. And I married a woman who was a convert, a Mitzri convert. Asi L'Vni Mitzrit Shniya K'deshi Ben B'ni Mutar Lavo B'Kol. Right, so I will have him marry another Mitzrit, right, to make it a Mitzri Shniya, so he'll be a Mitzri Sheni, she'll be a Mitzri Shniya, and their children, right, will be a Mitzri Shlishi, Dor Shlishi Yavolohem B'Kal Hashem, sorry, not Dor Revi, but Dor Shlishi Yavolohem B'Kal Hashem, therefore in the third generation they are allowed to re-enter Klal Yisrael, and therefore he will be allowed to enter Israel. So if you believe that the Mitzri were destroyed and no longer there, why is Binyamin and Mitzri worried about, you know, this conversion process and marrying off properly, marrying his son off properly to a Mitzri Shnia in order to allow his grandchildren to enter Klal Yisrael? They aren't Mitzrim anymore. They're not under the, right, they're not under the exclusion from the Pasuk of Lo Yavo B'Kol Hashem. So the Mar says, Eli Itmar Hachi Itmar. You have to reread the statement of Rav Chinin of Papa. So Rav Chinin of Papa, in a Kodesh Baruch Hu Nifram in a Melech, Ad Satchu Lecho, the king. Hashem only takes retribution on the king when it's time to destroy the nation, or when he's totally ready, meaning everything's done. That only when they're filled, again, that when the pot is filled, or they've run their cheshbon out, that's the time that Hashem goes after the king. So it's referring to the king and not to the king. So a Meimar, he learned that this statement of Kinnab Papa went on a different pasuk. Right? What does it say by Nawafi? Kiane Hashem, Lo Shaniti, Batem B'nei Yaakov, Lo Chilitim. Right? So it says in Malachi, which is, I think, we read this stuff, Torah for
Shabbat HaGadol.
Keni Hashem, Lo Shaniti, Vatem B'nei Yaakov, Lo Chilitim. So I am Hashem, I haven't changed, right? Lo Shaniti, I never changed, I never gave up. Vatem B'nei Yaakov, Lo Chilitim. And you, B'nei Yaakov, were never wiped out. Ani Hashem, Lo Shaniti, Lo Yikiti Luma, V'Shaniti La. I never, right, knocked out a nation and repeated that knockout. I mean, there's only one knockout punch, not two knockout punches. Vatem B'nei Yaakov, Lo Chilitim. And that what you were never destroyed. I know if Davis it says in Hazinu, Chitzayachalebam, right, it says that I will, my arrows will be used up on them when Hashem's taking retribution from Klal Yisrael over there. It says Chitzayachalebam, Chitzaykalim, Vehenin Kalim. My arrows run out, but Bnei Yisrael never run out. I mean that they're never destroyed entirely. As opposed to other nations where they are, meaning that Hashem destroys them and there's no second knockout punch because they're not around anymore. Right, he destroys them entirely. That is not true of Klal Yisrael, which is that Hashem never gives them a knockout punch because they always survive. So then that pasuk, that's where they say the statement of Rav Chinin bar Papa.
Hamemer mashni lahadir of Chinin bar Papa.
Right.
What? Where did he learn what Rav Chinin bar Papa said?
No, Rav Chinin bar Papa said above that Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Nifram Manu Achat Shilucha. But Hashem only takes retribution on a nation when it's time to be totally destroyed. And therefore, right, that statement here of Chinin bar Papa applies to the pasuk over here because it says over there Hashem will never take a second punch at the nation. And when he takes them, he knocks them out and they're gone.
Okay.
So that's it. They're completely wiped out. So too, that's what the pasuk says. But based on that, the pasuk in Malachi says that I will wipe them out and not repeat. I mean that there'll be one punishment and no more. Mm-hmm. Whereas for Bnei Yisrael, the opposite is true. Okay. Amar Rav Amuna, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifram Ben Adam, Ashim Mititmaleh Sa'ato. This is right, that something like what you mentioned, Tzvi, that a person never, Hashem never takes from a, or a retribution from a person until he fills his sato, his basket or his measurements, meaning that he has to accumulate enough of a reason to be punished. Shinemar bimlot sifko, right, yetzer lo. That when his sapak, when he is filled, when he fills up his need, yetzer lo, then I will say pay attention to him or make sure that he is yatsar, from the word tsar or pain, I will cause him pain. So when he reaches his full state, that's when we will take retribution or take pain from. I will punish him. It's just interesting here. The Gemara has both sifko with a samach in the eov. It has it with a sin, which is interesting here that they spell it different. Although it's pronounced the same way, but yeah, it's
cream soup.
It's not a cream soup there. It's just sifko with a sin. But I think they do it here because of the they're no nikudot. The Gemara seems no nikudot, so they use it. The Gemara always spells it out in a way that you can pronounce it properly. So the pronunciation with the samach would be the equivalent of a sin, whereas if you put it with just the shin, you wouldn't know it.
It was a pink sieve. Right? It's a sota with a sin.
Well, it's not kriyin ksiv. There they darshan it. He says, al tikri sota ela shote.
Ah, it was a kriyin ksiv.
No, it's not kriyin ksiv. That's just a drushan. I got it. The rush of it. Alright. Darish of chinim ba-papa. My dikhtiv. Ranuru tzadikim ba-shem. Lay sharim na-batila. Right? That the tzadikim should rejoice in Hashem. And lay sharim. Those are the straight. Nava is fitting tihila. Praise. Al tikri nava tihila. Is fitting praise. Ela nava tihila. That they are naveh from the lashon of what? House. Naveh is a place or a dwelling place. So instead of saying fitting, but rather naveh meaning a house that gives praise. Zeh Moshe and David, shloshel tusoneim b'maasehen. This is Moshe and David, right? That their actions or what they built, no one was able to destroy. David dichtiv tavu ba'aretz she'areha. It says when they came up to destroy the Mikdash, right? It says over there in Eicha, the Tavu Ba'aretz She'areha, the walls of the city sank into the ground. And when they laid siege to the city, when it came time to attack the city, they didn't break through the walls, but rather the walls sank into the city. Rashi here has a very, very interesting interpretation. You would have thought Tavu Ba'aretz She'areha, so the walls fell into the ground. What's that referring to? So if you look in Rashi, if the Tavu Ba'aretz She'areha, right before that in the Pasuk, it says, Chishev Hashem Lashchit Chomat Batzion, Shem thought to destroy the walls of Batzion, Valaktiv. On that, the Pasuk says, Tavu Ba'aretz She'areha, Umutsudat Zion, He Ir David Ubeito. What is Mitzudat Zion? The Tzudat Zion, he says, is Ir David, and the house of David. So when they came to lay siege in the time of Tzidkio, when the Babylonians came, the doors of the walls that were made out of gold and copper, so the enemies would not carry them off into captivity. And they were not able to carry them away. So Rashi says it refers to Ir David, that the falling in of the walls is the Ir David, because that is what the pasuk beforehand was talking about, Batzion, right? The Skit Chomat Batzion, the walls of Batzion. So in the walls of Batzion, the gates went into the ground or sunk into the ground. So he says that refers to Ir David, which David built, right? Because obviously David did not build the Mikdash, right? Or did not put up the walls of the Mikdash. So therefore, what walls did he build? He built the city of Ir David. That's what he did build, right? Because that's why David thinks about building the Mikdash. He builds his palace, he builds the Ir David, and he says, I'm sitting in the beautiful palace of Cedar, and Hashem's Aron is sitting in a tent. Then he goes up and thinks about building the base of Mikdash, and starts to do it, and then he gets the message from Hashem that you won't do it, but your son will do it. So what did David build? David conquered, or took the Ir David from the Ebusi, and he built up Ir David. And that's what the Rashi says the Pasuk in Eicha is referring to, is the city or the Ir David. The walls sank into the ground. Alright, now, so that's David's works. What about Moshe? Moshe, Damar, Mar, Shevishanibne, Mikdash, Rishon, Nignas, Olmoed. And when they built the first base of Mikdash, what did they do with the Olmoed? What did they do with the parts of the Mishkan? Krasav, Krasav, Uprichav, Amutav, Adanav. All the parts of the Mishkan that were there for the time of Moshe, what did they do with it? What did they do? Where are they? Amar Avchis, Amar Bimei, Tachat, Mishkibot, Shechekal. They're in the tunnels under the Heichal. So they were Gonesh, the Mishkan, in the tunnels under the Heichal. So again, Moshe built the Mishkan and it was never destroyed or never taken away. Those parts were put into Gnizah and not destroyed. Next, Amar of Chis Damram Yimei, Tachad Nichilo Tzuchilo. We just read that, sorry. Tana Banan, Sota Matna Einah Abimishen Roy Ula. So it's very interesting, this part of the Agadah, Abaye Sota. She looked or put her eyes, laid her eyes upon that which was not appropriate for her. What she tried, what she wanted, she ends up not with. What she had, she loses. So what she was looking for was, she was looking to go to the Boel, right, the one who she adultered with, or the one who she acted inappropriately with, and she's a sore out to him, but oh, she's gonna die, so it's not gonna work out. But she also loses out on her husband, meaning that she's now a sura to her husband, and she can't even go back to her original husband. She called it otene nav, gives a general principle. She called it otene nav, yama she'enu shelo. Whatever puts their eyes on something that does not belong to them, ma'ashe mishim vakesh, inu limlo. What he's looking for, they don't give. Ma'ashe biyado. Not only do they not give him what he's looking for inappropriately, but they take away that which he has. Okay, v'chein matzino b'nachash ha'kadmoni. We find the same thing by the snake in Gan Eden, by the nachash in Gan Eden. Shnatan inav b'mash in ro'ilo. He looked at Chava, he was looking at what did not belong to him. Right? So then, mash b'kesh lo natnu lo. Not only did he not get Chava, but mash b'yado natnu lo. He lost that which he had, the status or the stature that he had, he also lost. Why? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emar Tehi Melech HaKol Behema V'Chaya. You'll be a king over all the animals. V'Achshav Arur Hu Mikol Behema Mikol Chayat HaSadeh. There he was left after the Chet, right, of Adam HaRishon, after the Chet where he was Mefateh Chava, right, where he seduced Chava, then he was left to be cursed of all the animals and all the Chayat HaSadeh. Ani Emar Tehi Yelech Mikol HaSkufa, that the snake will go with the upright, in an upright way, or standing up, he'll have to slither on the ground on its belly. I thought its food would be the food of humans. He will eat the dirt of the earth, the dust of the earth.
What did he say these things?
So I'll tell you in a second. I will kill Adam and marry Chava. I will leave a everlasting, you know, hatred or dislike between you and humans, and your offspring and her offspring. Right, so where did this, how do you know all this? Where did Hashem say all this? So the Gemara, it seems to me that the Gemara is playing on the curse that Hashem, on the punishment that Hashem gave to the Nachash. But the Gemara is doing is reading that, what was that a punishment for? I mean, take the opposite. That's the opposite of what would have happened. And if the punishment is that he will slither on the ground on his belly, then the original intent was that he'd walk big komas kufa. If the punishment was that he will eat dirt and dust of the earth, then the original intent was that he would eat food. So they take from the curse, Chazal are, right, seeing or imposing the what would have been versus what actually happened now that the Nachash was cursed. Mm-hmm. All right. So then he says the Chayin Matzino. Now the Gemara is going to go for a list of which it does not explain. It says Chayin Matzino Bekayin, Bekorach, Bilam, Doeg, Adomi, Bachitofel, Bekechazi, Bavshalom, Vadriyahu, VeUziyahu, VeHaman. All of these people, they looked at something that did not belong to them, what they asked for, they did not get, or what they wanted, they did not get, and they lost everything. So some of these are obvious, some of them are not so obvious. For instance, Kayin. What was that Kayin was looking for that he asked him? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, Kayin, Natane Nav,
it's because it's to God.
Wasn't it Kayin? Natane Nav, Bitomai Terash, Nodayim Hevel. Right, each according to the Medrash, right, the each of Cain and Abel were born with twins or twin sisters or women that who they married, and Cain was looking at Hevel's twin, his other, because it says it's Cain et Hevel, right? So he was looking at this woman. He wanted Hevel's wife, basically. So stay till Mot, no Tuimot, right? That he had two. I mean, as opposed to Cain had one twin. Hevel had two twins that were born with him. Right, that they had Et Achiv and Et Havel, so there was two Ets, that's two Ribuim. Those two Ribuim, Shneitim Shne Ribuim. So he wanted Hevel's wife, so he goes to knock off Hevel in order to get to his wife, right, his Te'omah. In the end, not only does he not get his wife, but he's then thrown out, right, he's sent to be Navanat Ba'aretz, he's thrown out of where he lives. Korach, well, that one's easier, right, because that one is, Korach tried to take the Kehunah, the Law, or take the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. In that case, Korach was punished, right, that he was killed. Bilam.
So he was killed.
Right, he lost his standing. I mean, he was not even, not only did he lose his standing as a, you know, he tried to become a Kohen Gadol and stuff like that, and he lost all of his life. He lost his life, he lost his standing, his family, everything was destroyed. Mm-hmm. You know, he lost all of his standing or whatever he had until this point, right? He was a B'nai Levi, status of Levi, and he lost
everything. He wasn't killed.
Right? He was killed. B'nai Korach, his children were not killed.
Moshe MS, the Torah MS.
Right. I don't know, but that's not that the Torah says that Korach died. It just that is Ubnei Korach Lometu. That's the only thing that the Torah mentions. Right, Bilam. So what was Bilam's right? Thank you, Monosha Balak. He wanted Balak's money. And that's why he was willing to curse the Kalelet Yisrael, to curse Yisrael. So where do we see that he went to collect on this? Because in the end he didn't curse Yisrael, he didn't get the money. That's later on, he gives an Eitzah to Balak that he should, what? They should send out the Bnos Midian to be Mizaneh with Bnei Yisrael. And then Bnei Yisrael, 24,000 of Bnei Yisrael are killed. So here Rashi quotes the Medrash that what? That he went, he told Sakari Esrim Ba'arba'elek. He went to collect on his 24,000 Bnei Yisrael that he killed. And on his way to collect, Bnei Yisrael killed him in the battle with Midian. Later on, it mentions that they killed, right, at Bilam. So he gets killed. So here he wanted to get the money of Balak. In the end, he ends up losing his life. Doeg, what's Doeg? Doeg was with David HaMelech. Right? He was one of the strongest Talmid of Chachamim. The Gadatan Chelek says that he was Netkaneh with David, that he became, right, that he was Avon Badavar, Ish Tawar, Mareh Panim Balakha. He was very wise, he was good looking, he was very smart. And he became jealous of David HaMelech. Right, and then he tries to, you know, knock off or help Joel knock off David HaMelech, the way he got to me. In the end, he ends up right losing everything. That he, who was according to the Gadaton Hechelik, he was able to embarrass David in learning. He was such a Talmud Chacham, the way he got to me. And yet he was kind of a David in David's position. He became jealous of David and his stature, and that caused him to right. Tried to speak evilly about David HaMelech and have David HaMelech knocked off. In the end, Doeg himself is the one who gets knocked off. Achitofel, right? Achitofel, who was the advisor to David and later on becomes an advisor to Absalom in the merit of Absalom. So he says, the Gadatan Parakachelik and Sanhedrin says that he wanted to take over of the kingship. He wanted to be a king, right? That he thought he was going to be the future king, and therefore he joined up with Merit of Shalom. In the end, he gets knocked up, or he ends up getting killed. I mean, he kills himself because he realizes that the Avshalom does not take his advice, right? When it comes to battling with David, right, there is, David sent one of his, or one of the people loyal to David, and Achitofar giving advice to Avshalom, and Avshalom in the end listens to the advice of David's plant that he sent there. Right, David's spy, quote unquote, or David's the person loyal to David. Once Achitofel realizes that, he realizes that it's going to be lost, or his cause is lost, and therefore he takes his wife. Now, Gehazi, who was Gehazi? Gehazi was the Mishareit of Elisha. Right? And when he, the Mishareit of Elisha, what happens is in the time of Naaman, at the time of Naaman, he comes to Elisha to get cured from his tzaras. And Elisha cures him, and then he offers to pay Elisha money for this and to give him wealth, and Elisha says no, because it's Kol Me'et Hashem, I do not take any compensation for it, and Naaman leaves. After Naaman leaves, what happens? Right? Gehazi runs after him and says, Elisha changed his mind, and he wants payment. So Naaman gives his clothes, gives him a suit, gives him all this stuff and money to Gehazi, which Gehazi pockets, because Elisha never sent him. He goes off and pockets it, and what is he punished with? He's especially with the Saras, that he and his children will have Saras for the rest of their lives. Ziarbon Sarim, very good. That's the Torah, Ziarbon Sarim. That's the Medrash says it was a Naaman, was Gehazi and his children. So it came out because Naaman looked to take the money of Naaman, and therefore he ended up losing everything. He was Badad Yeshev Kutsumachne, became Saras. Adonai Yahu, right, is the son of David, who leads the rebellion towards the end of the life of David to become the future king instead of Shlomo. Right, so here Rashi says, what did he become? What did he want to take? Avisha Gashunamit, the wife of David, the woman they brought in for David to keep him warm at the end of his life. He wanted to take this Avishag, and therefore he wanted to become the king to take her. And obviously his end was, obviously he was killed in the end, that he ends up getting wiped out or killed because his rebellion does not succeed. Uzio, right? Uzio is the king of Israel, and then he decides that because he's become so powerful, not only does he want to be the king, he also wants to be the Kohen Gadol. He wants to be Makriv, the Ketores, or Makriv Karbanot on the Mizbech. So he goes into the Mikdash to be Makriv Karbanot on the Mikdash, and they're trying to stop him and say, you're not, this is, you know, it's enough, you're the king, why are you coming to be a Kohen as well? And then he reaches out his hand, as he goes to do the Karban, he breaks out in Saras. He breaks out in Saras, and they throw him out, they chase him out of the Mikdash because he broke out in Saras. So again, here's someone trying to overreach his position, trying to become a Kohen Gadol, not just the, or Kohen, and not just the king. And in the end, he loses out even on the Melucha because he's Saras, and he's thrown out, he's left out outside the city, and he has to rule. Actually, his son rules, although he's still alive, and he gives advice to his son from the outside, but he's no longer in his life. He loses his kingship. Right. Now, so now we went through all these listed here. Oh, who else we missed? Oh, Haman. Obviously, Haman was an obvious one again, who tried to, right, become prince, wipe out Klal Yisrael, eliminate Mordechai, and in the end, he loses his house and his children and everything. All right. Now the Gemara says, that her thigh began the Avera, and therefore the curse begins with her thigh. How do you know this? So that's where the curse, when the Kohen's describing to her what's going to happen when the Me'amarim come in, it says that Hashem will have your thigh fall, right, and your stomach will expand or blow up, right, be active, but when you read the Parsha, the narrative over there says what? That her stomach will explode, and her thigh will fall. So why is it, why, if you think that the reason that what, not the way the Me'amarim works, we said that already, the way the Me'amarim works is when she drinks it, it works the way that it goes into her body. So that's not her Yerech, her thigh curse. Her thigh curse was mentioned in the curse. But even in the curse that the Kohen mentions to her, in the narrative that he reads from the Torah, not only does it say that first her Yerech, but later on it says that Tzavtabina'ah first, that her stomach will go first. So Umar says, no, Amar by Ki Layit, when he curses her, when the Kohen gives the curse, Layit Yerech V'adar Betzen, Layit. First it curses her thigh, then it curses her stomach. I mean, it says the curse will take effect, or the curse will happen to her thigh first, and then to her stomach, and therefore, what? That matches up to Mizekinek Midah. She sinned with her thigh first, therefore her Betzen, or her thigh will be the first to be cursed. Ah, Umaya, when the water goes in, Ki Badki, Kuruchayu Badki. When the water goes in, it checks her the way it goes in. Right? Betim Bereisha, Bahadur Be'erach. So that is what? First in her stomach, Tzavta Pitnav, and Achala Reicha. So now the Gemara says, Bahadur Be'erach, the Bahadur Be'erach, the Kula Namikiv. Even in the curse, it says it's both Betim, but then Po Yorach. Right? That you're, again, as part of that narrative in the curse, it says what? That she will, right, her stomach will explode and her Yerech will fall. So you see, even in the context, right, you have it three times it's written what will happen. One time is the curse. So that there clearly says that Yerechek no felet, that her thigh will go first. And what will actually happen, it says, right, it says over there, but describes what will happen, that's the way the water will check her. There's also one extra, right, there's an extra narrative in the Psukim, or part of the narrative in the Psukim, it says, Yishpiat al Kohen, it says, what's going to happen? So there, even in the curse, then it still switches, even in the middle of the curse, it switches over to Bethan first. So why is it? So you can say to me, the original way the Gemara divided up the psukim and said what? The curse talks about her yerech first. When the actual water goes in, that was the pasuk we quoted from later, is that when the me'marim go into her, it will go into her beten first. Right? That's practical what happened. But what are you going to do with the pasuk over here in, right? In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, which says what? When it's in Chaf Bet, which says Bo Ma'im Arim Ha'ilu B'Me'ayach, let's go to the bottom of the Poliyarch. That's part of the curse. So why is it mentioned up in the curse part? So they have three psukim. Two of them say stomach first, and one of them says her thigh first. Second one says no problem. But what are we going to do with that? How the modal out coin to Bet and Bereisha, V'Hadareach Shalohot Tzilaz Ala Ma'im Amarim. It's unbelievable. Again, another tremendous Musar Haskel. We discussed this with Chaim Shalevich before. But what the curse is, that it says what will happen. The curse, that's what the Mita Keneged Mita, Yerech first, then Batan. What's really going to happen, that's the pasuk towards the end of Parshat Sota that says what? That Ba'uma Marim Arim Shavta Bitnav Nafla Yerecha. That's what actually will happen. So now what's the problem? We need to bridge the gap. Why do we have to bridge the gap? Because the curse says something different than actually will happen. What's going to happen? She's going to drink the Mayim Arim and she'll see that her stomach goes up first and not her Yerech. She'll say, look, it's not the Mayim Arim that are doing it because it's not what he says is going to happen. Right. He said that my thigh was going first, instead my stomach's going first. Right. Can you imagine this is what she thinks? So that even in the curse, the Kohen tells her that even though the curse is on your thigh first, nevertheless, what's really going to happen, just know that your stomach will get affected first. So that you don't, nobody should think that the Mayim Amarim are not working. And again, it's so obvious. Here this woman drinks the Mayim Amarim, she's going through all these Yisurim, right? She's blowing up, and the Mayim Amarim are working. It's going to say, it's not like he said it. It's not like what the Kohen said. Because it's not exactly like what the Kohen said, right? Therefore, it's not true. It's really not what meant to happen. It's really not true. And again, it's Masrasko, that people will be in denial, right? Or deny something that's so obvious, right? Because, right, they don't want to take responsibility or achrayut for what they did or that the actual punishment is coming true. And therefore, they'll be in denial. So Hashem doesn't want any of that denial. And he says, even in the curse, they explain to her what's going to happen first. We have it again. We mentioned this the other day with the curse of Yoshua and Yericho. That's where Chaim Shalevich talks about it. We also have it by Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim when he says, right, Kechatzot Alayla. Right, he didn't want them, right, the message over there brings again, why did you say not Chatzot Alayla, but Kechatzot Alayla? So the Mitzrayim shouldn't say, oh, it didn't happen exactly at midnight because their clocks were off. Again, this idea that people, even though it's so obvious what's happening is exactly what Hashem said, but if they can find a way to get out of it and not take responsibility and not take achrayut, people take that. So a big Musar Haskel to, when we see something happening that we really need to focus on, right, the Musar that's been given, the Midah Keneged Midah that's been given to us, even though it's not exact, or there's a way to get out of it, or a way to think out of it, and to take responsibility for it. I just mentioned before we finish, the next Mishnah goes down, a pretty big Mishnah, and then the whole Sugya after is about Shimshon, but I just mentioned quickly that before we had the Sugya about Ger Mitzri, on which Tosos and Rashi discussed the problem with Gemara and Brachos. Gemara and Brachos says, what? That there's no problem of Lo Yavo Amoni Umoavi B'Kal Hashem anymore because Sancherev Gilbel's Kula Umot. So why is here, Minyamin Ger Mitzri is after the time of Sancherev, right? He's at the time of, the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. So it's clear that he's after that point in time. How come he's worried about being a Mitzri? Meaning that the Sancherev Gilbel Kula Umot, what's going on? So Rashi answers that problem by saying what? That Binyamin does not hold that Gemara in Brachos. He says, Binyamin, let's play Hadamar B'Brachos, Shamunim B'Mitzrim Mutarim L'Bo B'Kal, Shekvar Allah Sanfer B'Let Kol Umot. He didn't hold that Gemara, he didn't know of that Gemara in Sanfer, in Brachos. Right? Later on in Tosefta, there's a Tosefta that says that Rabbi Akiva said to Binyamin Ger Mitzri, you're wrong, because there is that Allah of Sanher. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, this is a very interesting Rabbeinu Tam, I'm just pointing it out to you because it's a huge Tosef here. Rabbeinu Tam says that Sancherev, that when we say Sancherev Bilbel Kol Omot, that's only when it's explicitly mentioned that Sancherev was Bilbel at Omot. And he says Sancherev never reached Mitzrayim. And since Sancherev did not reach Mitzrayim, therefore Mitzrayim is in place and does not have that status of Sancherev Bilbel Kol Omot. And he actually also differentiates between Ammon and Moab. He says that Sancherev Bilbel Kol Omot only applies to Moab, and not to Ammon to deal with another steer from a Gemara and Megillah. But you just know that Rabbeinu Tam has the Shita that when they say Sancherev Bilbel Kol Omot does not apply to all the Umot. It only applies to certain Umot where it's clear that Sancherev conquered them, and not when someone later on came and destroyed those nations. The Gemara says it was Cheres Bilbal Kolmos and Nebuchadnezzar destroyed them. And Nebuchadnezzar was the one who conquered Mitzrayim and not Sennacherib. And therefore, Mitzrayim is not included under that Bilbal Kolmos by the Gemara in Brachos. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam does it. It's a very, very interesting Rabbeinu Tam. I just want to point it out to you. All right. That's it. All right, so now Mishnah, new Mishnah. Shimshon halach achar einav, afikach nikru plishtimet einav. Shimshon went after his eyes, I mean that he was attracted to his wife, right, from his eyes, therefore his eyes were popped out. Shneimar v'yachazua plishtimi nakruet einav. When the plishtim capture him later in his life, his eyes are popped out. Avshalom nitga'e b'saro. Avshalom loved his hair, right, he was a nazir olam. Figach nitla b'saro, he was caught in his hair, right, when he's riding away, when the David's troops and Yoav catch up with him, he's riding away on the horse. Excuse me, his hair gets caught in the tree, and then that's how they capture him. Lufisha Baal Eser Pilakshe Aviv, and since he slept with the 10 Pilakshim of his father, Figach Nadumbo Eser Dunbiot. When they killed him, they put 10 darts or daggers into him. That they went and they killed him. When they killed him, they punctured him or they stabbed him. He was caught 10 times. Since he stole 3 things, or gimel of a vote, stole 3 hearts, Levaviv, the heart of his father, lived based him, and that based him with Levi Yisrael, since he stole all of their hearts, and therefore there were 3, I would call them spears, some sort of weapons that were placed in him, in the lab of Shalom. He took these 3, spears, daggers, darts, and put them into the heart of Avshalom. So now we see over here that the negative, that what the 3 things that Avshalom did, first of all, he slept with Pelegshe Aviv, right, because it says in Sefer Shmuel, Be'ezov Isim Nashim Pelegshim L'Shmar HaBayit, that when David left, he left 10 Pelegshim behind to clean the bayit, and later on, right, the advice is given to him that he should sleep with the Pelegshim Aviv to show that he's really what? That he's really taking over the kingship here, that he's really serious about being the king. Right, when he stole the lave of his father, right, because he says to his father, right, so he says, I'll go and give my karbanot. He asked David for a letter saying that people should come with him because he's going to go give his karbanot to pay off for his nazirut. So David gives him a letter, and then he goes around taking the letter saying David said to come with him, and he collects all the Sanhedrin to go with him, and when he leads the rebellion. So he stole the lave of his father, he stole the lave of Beis Din, and then later on in the pasuk it says that, what? He stole the lave of Anshei Yisrael. Like, no, Shalom, the lave of Anshei Yisrael. So all these people, so because of that, he is punished again with the 10 things that when he's killed, right, he's killed with 10 and 3 items. Alright, the Hainlanyana Tovai also works for good. Miriam Himtina La Moshe Sha'achat. Miriam waited by when Moshe was thrown into the into the Nile. Shnera Batita Tseva Klotomir Akok, right? His sister waits from afar. Levikach Nit Akvula Yisrael Zayin Yamim. But Yisrael waited for 7 days when she was thrown out because she was Taraz. But Midbar, Shnera Amlo Nasu Adehasif Miriam. Right, the people didn't travel until Miriam was brought back in. Yosef Zachal Kort Aviv, right? Yosef was the one who was buried, right, his father, took care of his father. No, none of his brothers got the prize that he got. Shneamar, who took care of Yosef's burial? Right, so then, I'm sorry, so he, nobody was greater than his brothers, and yet he still dealt with the burial of his father. So Milano Gadomi Yosef, and who got a better treatment than Yosef? Linked to Sekboel of Moshe. The Moshe Rabbeinu took care of his bones. Moshe Zachabat Mot Yosef, Ben Yisrael Gadomi Menu. Right? So then it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, but nobody was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, and he took care of Yosef's Atzavot. He didn't leave it to anyone else. Shnevar Yikach Moshe Tatzmot Yosef Imo. He dealt with it personally. Mi Gadomi Moshe, and who was Zochet to a better burial than Moshe? Shalit Sekboel of Makom. Because who buried Moshe? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. This is not said about Moshe alone. Ela kol tzadikim and all the tzadikim. Shneamar, the halach lefanecha tzidkecha kvod Hashem yasvecha. So it says that your right tzidkecha, your righteous ways will go before you. Kvod Hashem, then the kvod Hashem yasvecha will gather you in. So anybody, the tzaddikim, those whose actions are deserve it, whose righteousness speaks before them, will be gathered in by Hashem. So over here, this is the one from the Haftarah, on Yom Kippur, that was in Yishai Nefka. All right. Tana Rabbanan. Shimshon being Abmarat, Shimshon with his eyes, right, rebelled. Shinemar Bayomshir, Shimshon El Aviv, Otakachli, this is with his first wife, when he takes his first wife, he says, take this woman for me, when he tells his parents, Kiyishara Beinai, right, because she is good in my eyes. And his father says to him, right, my parents say to him, what do you need somebody from the Ireleem? Why don't you take a nice Jewish girl? He says, no, because she is the one I chose. The Pekach, and the Kru Plishtim, and Thinav. Their first eyes were popped up. Shnemar, and the Kru Plishtim, and the Kru Plishtim. Ini, is that true? Is it really why he married this woman? Bakdib, Avivi, Imoli, Adukim, Yashemu. Right, that the reason that he went after this Plishti woman is not because he wanted to, because his parents didn't realize that the reason he was marrying her is because Hashem wanted excuses, right, to deal blows to the Plishtim. Therefore, he had Shimshon marry the Plishti woman. So it's from Hashem. So the Gemara says, no, ki azal mihu batar, right, he changes the gaza, ki biashrut enab azal. Right, you're right. Ain't Afanami that Hashem, this is what Hashem wanted, but he was drawn by his eyes. That's what he saw. I mean, Hashem was looking for excuses of the Plishtim, but on the other hand, he himself was drawn or attracted to this woman. He went after his eyes. This is not exactly the way it had to happen. Hashem came up with other excuses later on, or other ways later on, right, to come excuses with the Plishtim, but the fact is that the way this ended up was because Shimshon went after his eyes. Tanya, Rabbi Omer. Chilat kilkulo baza, lefika chlaka baza. His first, his biggest, his problem was, or where Shimshon had a problem was in Azah, therefore he was killed in Azah, or he was, you know, he was taken prisoner in Azah. Chilat kilkulo baza, dechtivi lef Shimshon Azah, darbe yarasham isha zilna, lefika chlaka baza, and therefore he was hurt or destroyed in Azah, dechtivi yoridu oto azata. They took him down Azah. So now it turns out Shimshon was involved with three Plishti women. His first wife, which we just discussed above, the one that Kiyash Rabbe and I. Then there was Nisha Zonah, which is this case of Irin Azah. And the last one is the case of Delila, right? That he gets involved with her. So this is the middle one. The middle one is this case of Azah. So why does the Gemara say here, right? That's the Gemara says, why over here it says Kilat Kiklo Azah? That was the middle woman that he got involved with. He already had been involved with the Plishti woman before that. So why is that Kilat Kilkulo? Right? Bakti, by Irin Shimshon Timnata. Right? Didn't he go down to Timnata? Right? So why do you say that it's Tchilat Kilkulo is the best? Gemara says, Tchilat Kilkulo mi Abba Azah Hayah. But no, the beginning of his problem was in Azah, because it says, so Rashi explains over here, why is that? Because in the other case, or the first case, with the woman that he married originally, he at least married her, meaning that it was a marriage. It wasn't something that was as bad because it was a woman that he took as a wife, as opposed to over here, where when he went down to Azah, he got involved with a Isha Zonah in Azah. And there, it was totally inappropriate, and therefore, since he was the Kautel with the Isha Zonah in Azah, that's where his destruction or the problem for him came out of Azah.
According to the Marsha saying that she was Megayer, or he was Megayer.
The first wife.
The first wife.
Okay.
So it was his
right. Okay, now, but, the next thing I contain is with Lidat Tanya Rebbe Omer. Okay, because even if your name wasn't Dilah, she should have been called Dilah. Why? Because Dildalat Kocho, Dildalat Libo, Dildalat Masab. Because she, right, Dildalah here, what's the mirror, and what does it mean? Dildalah is Akra. That's what Rashi says. She took away, she undermined, she took off. Right, she undermined or took away his power. Right, Dildalat Libo, it just stole his heart. And Dildalat Masav, and he took away his actions, meaning the Sadak Shekhina Aminei, because she lost the Shekhina at that point. Once she cuts off his hair, after she cuts his hair, but she has someone cut his hair, he loses his power and he gets up to attack the police team and he doesn't realize that he's going to be captured this time. But Terry Dilaki Kiblat Kolibo. She keeps begging him, Lila keeps begging him, Shimshon, to tell her what his power comes from. She gives her three times he gives her different options, right? Says, tie me up in chains, tie me up in this, tie me up in that. And each time it doesn't work. And then the last time she drives him crazy, basically. That's what the pasuk says. To the point that he tells her about his hair. And then she says, then she knew that he had told him the truth. How did she know? No yoga. This is a really great line. But that it's not, when people tell the truth is understood. Truth is known. So Rashi over here says, what does it mean that truth is known? Number one, Rashi says, mitkablinim yushavim. Number one, they make sense. I mean, when you speak the truth, people, it affects people. But also, v'dibram ofenehem. And it also makes sense, he says over here. Why? Because she saw that his hair had grown long, and they had these locks, and he never drank wine. So she saw that he acted like a Nazir. And since she saw that, then she knew that it wasn't the truth. Abaya Amar, no. That he knew, she knew this guy, that Yitzhak Shem never used the Shem Hashem. And over there in the Pasuk says, he says that I am a Nazir Elohim. He uses the Shem Hashem to describe himself. So the fact that he used the Shem Hashem, she knew he was telling the truth, this Dhamma. Right? Amra Hashka Batai Kushka Kamar. There he's definitely telling the truth. Bayaki Tikolo with the Rav Koyamimita Al Sehil. So this is what we said here. The Pasuk says, well, that she drives him crazy until he'll tell her why he was so strong. My Vital Sehil. What does it mean that she, right, pressured him or she tortured him to the point that he gave in? Amra Bitzah by Devei Rabbi Ami, Bishad Marbiya Nishmatami Tahtav. During intercourse, she pulled out before he was finished, and therefore she was torturing him. Now it says, "Batai shavri na v'altushti yaim shechar v'altochli kol tamei." And so the instruction given to Manoach and to his wife about Shimshon is what? That you shouldn't drink, right, any wine. V'shechar v'altochli kol tamei. Don't eat any tamei. What do you mean, don't eat any tamei? My kol tamei. V'tu, and ad hashad varim tameim kachal. And until now, she was eating varim tameim. What does it mean that she was eating varim tameim? I mean, so the Rabbi Ami, varim asurim b'nazir. Varim tamei doesn't mean literally tamei stuff, but stuff that is a sur to a Nazir. And that, what's a sur to a Nazir? That is a wine, right, yayin, shechar, grapes, all the things that are a sur to a Nazir. Right, so Hashem breaks open the machtesh asher balechi in the, that's in the, what do you call it, in the jaw bone. Right, so what is that? Amar Yisrael Tvei Rabbi Ami. Who you are the Davar Tamei, the Tifkach Netuchayav did Davar Tamei. Right, so therefore, it says that since he got involved, right, with a davar tamei, right, so therefore he was, what, punished, or he was, since he married a plishti, which was a davar tamei, therefore his life was taken, the davar tamei, which is the lechi hachamur. Right, Vatakha Ruach Hashem. So this is like Shimshon in the beginning of his life. It says, why Vatel Ruach Hashem lit'am be, right, b'machane dan, mi tzara'ad eshto. This is the Nevuah of Yaakov coming true. Right? There will come up from Dan. Right? This Nachash Alei Derech. So that's referring to Shimshon. Lipa'amo b'makanei Dan. To beat. Right? What is lipa'amo? Lipa'amo is to ring or to beat in the makanei Dan. Right, that the Shekhina would ring like a bell in front of him, that it was obvious that the Shekhina was with Shimshon. Right, by the Kohen Gadol, it says by his clothing that he'll have a pamon rimon on the Mehil Saviv, and that's what he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with. I mean, that's what announces his coming into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So too, the pamon b'machanei dan was the announcement, the Shekhina coming before Shimshon as he went through Machanei dan. Ben Tzora'ah, Uben Eshto, right, it says that he was, Machanei Dan has been Tzora'ah and Eshto, which are local here. That's how we know, right? We're on, actually, Beit Shemesh is on the border between Yehuda and Dan, right? And you know that kibbutz, right, we have kibbutz Tzora'ah and kibbutz Eshto, which are found right here along Highway 38, right? And Beit Shemesh, which is mentioned both in, was Eina Shemesh mentioned in the border towns of Yehuda and the border towns of Dan. This is the border, the Hare Yehuda, these are the mountains of Yehuda, begin over here. That's the area of Yehuda. And we are at the foothills of the Hare Yehuda. So this is the border between Dan and Yehuda. So here it says, what bin Tzora'ah ben Eshto'o? Amravasid Tzora'ah Eshto Shnei Harim Dolim Hayu. There were two great mountains. Vakam Shimshon Tachanam Ezei. He uprooted them and ground them together. I mean, describing his tremendous strength. So Amar Behu Yachelo Shieti. So he began to save Klal Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina. That the Shua of Abimelech was cancelled at this point. And there was a Shua between Abraham and Abimelech that they would not attack each other's children and grandchildren and so on and so forth. So over here it was already broken, that promise is broken. Why? So Rashi says, they violated the Shua first because they were attacking the Jews, they were oppressing the Jews at this point, and therefore it was given permission to Shimshon to go back and take retribution from the Plishtim.